Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Are you ready? Are you ready for the SmackDown Review podcast? This is definitely not the second time I've started this show, but my name is Phil Chambers and I am joined by Gareth Morgan. He's actually decided to show up today to talk all things Blue Brand. But before we get into it, make sure to like the podcast, subscribe to the podcast, that too, on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever it is that you get your podcast from. Because we do daily wrestling podcasts. We do wrestling podcasts about Raw, wrestling podcasts about SmackDown, wrestling podcasts about NXT, wrestling podcasts about AEW, wrestling podcasts that are roundtable discussions, wrestling podcasts that are interviews, and wrestling podcasts that are roundup of the week, complete with a bloody good quiz on wrestle culture. But this podcast is about SmackDown. And since you weren't here last week, I figured the first thing we can talk about is what you think of Pat McAfee on commentary.
I thought we were just going to roll two podcasts into one, Phil. Let's do a back-to-back edition from last week's and it now. I like Pat McAfee just as a performer, as a personality, big NXT guy, as you know. So I've loved all his work there. This version of Pat McAfee, is it a like-for-like carbon copy? He was obviously playing more of a character in NXT, like he was more of an on-screen personality. So it was never going to be the same. It's, I feel like we get more of just his personality just as a human being, let's say, as a fan of the business. But I think he's doing well. I think he's doing all right. It's one of those things where anybody is going to find that tough, that job, because it's not just a case of you seeing all these other promotions where you just go out there and you just kind of riff and you do whatever you want, do what comes to your mind, as long as you're not swearing your head off all the way through the broadcast, you're going to be okay. Whereas WWE, you got a guy in your ear 24/7. And to kind of adapt to it as quickly as he has done. And yeah, there's a few times when they overlap and the chemistry is maybe not as there as it was between him and Graves because they've been doing it for how many years together. It's not going to be after 2 weeks, but he's got a lot of potential. The guy's just, he's just overloading with charisma. I'm a big fan of him. I hope he just, keeps going from strength to strength. But as of now, I think he's had a good little start.
Me too. I think he's toned it down a little bit this week. He wasn't quite as excitable as he was last week, although he still had his moments. Like, was he saying, I think it was in the Rey Mysterio match that he was saying, like, oh, this is the best we've ever seen Rey Mysterio ever. And, like, super excited just because he did, like, I don't know, an arm drag or something.
I think, like, Roman Reigns popped up at some point. He's like, he's the scariest man I've ever seen. I was like, you played NFL. You've had people running at you with helmets on.
But he's enthusiastic. He's definitely into it. And he's putting his all into it. And I'm liking him so far. And we'll have to wait and see, I guess, how he settles down into it, because I can't imagine how hard that job is. And people have come out, like even like Mick Foley, fantastic talker, one of the best talkers in the business, like still couldn't quite get it on commentary because of how much like Vince is in your ear all the time. And it like just put him off. So it's got to be a hard job.
Different skill, isn't it? Like, as a performer, I think Ed just said it, like, because he was talking about Beth Phoenix just smashing it in recent times.
Yeah.
So it's a very different thing sitting there as a performer, putting yourself over, putting the other people over a little bit and just doing it all as a storyline. Sitting there and having to play-by-play it, it's a different... You see Daniel Bryan do it when he gets on, because he's out of that experience of doing the Cruiserweight Classic. He's just a natural at everything, Daniel Bryan, but it's just, he makes it look easy. It's insanely hard.
But yes, SmackDown opened with Cesaro in the ring for the first time ever, it seems. They've opened a show with Cesaro as the first person you see.
I loved his 20-minute monologue as well. It was good, wasn't it?
It was really good. It's a big opening promo. Oh, wait, there was no opening promo because Seth came out before he could even say anything. Seth Rollins has new music. We should mention that. What did you think of that?
I feel like he has new music every other week.
That was my exact reaction to it. It's like, that's music.
I like Burn It Down. Like, I don't know. I was a big fan of it. It just doesn't suit this character though.
But they need to get Jim Johnston back or get the CFOs back or whatever, because whoever's doing their music now is nowhere near as good as those guys.
Yeah, it's creative wrestler mode, isn't it?
Yeah. But yeah, Seth comes out and he's there to congratulate Seth Rollins because he's finally fulfilled his potential. And how's he done that? Well, because he was in the ring with Seth at WrestleMania, obviously, and Seth gave him the night of his life. And where's his thanks? Doesn't get any. And now you want to move on from Seth? Well, this isn't over until Seth says it's over. He had a good line about blaming the rain delay for him losing, for putting him off his game, which I quite enjoyed.
There was no rain delay. Have you not seen the WWE?
Yeah, that's true. Didn't happen. But then he also went on to say that, like, Cesaro on his best day, like, couldn't even beat Seth on his worst day. And Cesaro was like, well, you're having a good day now because I'm having a great day. So get in this ring. Let's go right now. And Seth was like, oh, yeah, well, maybe I should. Maybe I should teach you a lesson. But before he could teach him a lesson, out comes Jey Uso in full Scrappy-Doo mode, just going, talking about how, what you're doing. You're calling out Roman Reigns like you don't even deserve to be in the same ring as Roman Reigns. And then Seth has a word with him, and they decide to sort of work together to go and get Cesaro because he's going to get got, etc. But before they could get got, Daniel Bryan came out to even the odds. And then Jey Uso and Seth Rollins sort of started walking back and away from it all. And Bryan was like, where are you going? Like, I see why everyone's out here. Like, Cesaro came out for a title match against Roman Reigns. Like, Seth, you just came out because you're embarrassed by Seth Rollins, by Cesaro. Jey Uso, you came out probably because Roman Reigns just told you to. But I came out, me being Daniel Bryan, to make sure Cesaro finally gets what he deserves. And that seems like the theme of this episode, Daniel Bryan desperately trying to get Cesaro what he deserves. He talked about having an infinite amount of respect for Cesaro because he works harder than everybody else in the WWE. So, like, what now? Are you going to face us? Because I did like this line, because he'd just been running them down. And he's like, what, you're going to face us now? Because I just made some really derogatory comments about you. And I was like, yep, that's just WWE 101 right there. And he's just calling it out in his promo, because Daniel Bryan's really great. But then he's like, oh, yeah, you're probably not going to. Like, oh, is Roman Reigns going to come out and accept Cesaro's challenge? Yeah, probably not. Oh, I know, Roman Reigns is going to come out, and then the three of you are going to try and attack us. But then he's like, well, whatever happens, there's no one I'd rather have by my side to go through it than Cesaro. I liked how much he just called out WWE's stock opening promos in this and made it really entertaining. It's like, just, yeah, Daniel Bryan's great.
He just tore down. I loved it. Like, there was just so many, I don't know, just like, not even like inside jokes, but just like knowing things where you're just like, oh, I feel like I'm being rewarded for being a fanny. Because like, there was the little thing of it. Oh, Roman could come down. Oh, but he doesn't like wrestling, does he? And that just happened back to he did that Talking Smack thing a couple of months ago. And it was just like, I'm here because I like wrestling. Your boy didn't like wrestling. It's just little things.
Bryan's just on another level.
Best, isn't he? He's just the best.
But then out comes Roman Reigns, obviously. And he's saying about how, what, you're out here talking about working hard. And it's like, you should be talking about what happened at WrestleMania, because I told you what was going to happen, and pointed at his new T-shirt, which has Daniel Bryan, which has him, the Stack'em, whatever, Pin'em thing. And that's Daniel Bryan at the bottom of it.
I saw somebody put on Twitter, oh, thanks for teaching us all to perform a threesome. I think that's what somebody put on Twitter. I was like, oh, that's lovely. There you go. Stack 'em, pin 'em.
He's had some pretty bad T-shirts since he's come back, Roman Reigns.
They just do anytime he says anything. It's just like,
just there, whip it on a T-shirt.
if they sell, Phil.
Well, yeah, that's true. But yeah, then he called them both like main event losers, but he separated them by saying, like, Cesaro, he's just like an unlucky loser, but Daniel Bryan, he's a stupid loser because he's out here talking smack when he's surrounded by people who want to whoop his ass. And then it obviously built to Bryan and Cesaro versus Jey Uso and Seth Rollins. They kind of started having a scrap before they went to commercial, but this whole sort of segment of SmackDown lasted for like, what, at least a third of the show. Mm-hmm. So we may as well break it down into three little sections. Pre-match, match, and then post-match. So what did you think of the pre-match stuff?
Pre-match was a lot of this, and a lot of the stuff we're going to talk about probably after the match as well, felt very Paul Heyman-esque in the way it was booked. It was sticking to the strengths of the people who were in there, like giving Bryan the chance to kind of tear down the establishment, not letting Cesaro over-talk on the mic. Like, he had his moments, he didn't just stand there and look stupid and just go, oh, well, I'm going to beat you all up. Like, he had a few little digs in there, and then just letting, like, Seth and Jey just be little scrappy dudes at the side. Like, it was everyone working off the strengths. And then I thought it was quite interesting, the dynamic having Roman and Seth together for the first time, like seeing those, like, just in a frame together. Do you know what I mean? It was this thing of, wonder how that's going to play out. And there was
I liked how Seth wasn't quite accepting it either. Like as a thing, he was like, as they kind of went to the match, he was complaining at commentary, going like, "What? They didn't even tell me I was going to be in a match. Like, what is this? Like, he's not on Roman's side because they still hate each other from way back." So I liked that they didn't just kind of forget about all of that, and it's still playing in. And Seth is still his own character; he's not just getting washed up by all the Roman Reigns stuff.
Yeah, it's surprisingly subtle. Like, do you know what I mean? It's one of those things where there could have been a temptation just to be like, right, let's see how Seth feels about Roman. He's on his side. It's like, there could have been, we know WWE, like they're just like painting broad strokes half the time. But here it was just like, oh, there's enough to read into it. It could be like, oh, it could be, there's potential for a turn in him and like a few there going forward. Or there's potential for Seth to like play into the plans potentially. He's got his own like stuff to play with. There's so many moving parts in this. It was great. And there's a reason they probably dedicated as much to the show as they did, because look at the people who were involved. It was like, we're going to keep people's attention here.
It's going to be good. Absolutely.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, me too. Not much more to add. Daniel Bryan, Sean, like ridiculously, he's just so bloody good. But also at every opportunity, he's putting Cesaro over through all his promos and everything. Like everything's guided towards putting Cesaro over. It just works. Jey Uso as well, can't be understated, his little Scrappy-Doo character. And like even after this and like throughout the match, like just that, I just love that Jey Uso character of just everything's gotten to him from the Roman Reigns thing and he just completely snaps.
it's going to be so interesting seeing all that kind of develops when Jimmy comes back. I'm really, really intrigued by it because he's put himself on such a nice little level now where he is, where he can just part these great matches, be a little single star in his own right. It's going to be, are they both going to carry that momentum, just be this incredible, just monstrous tag team for a couple of months, or is it going to be a bit of a conflict? And we know the brother versus brother stuff happens. It can hit and miss.
Indeed. But it did build into Bryan and Cesaro taking on Jey Uso and Seth Rollins. They kind of had a bit of a scrap and then cut to commercial and then they came back and they were like, oh, they've just been fighting ever since, but the match has been made official. And then the referee finally managed to get them all separated and start the match. And I mean, what do you want me to say? It's Seth Rollins and Jey Uso versus Bryan and Cesaro. Of course, this is going to be really great. They all work really, really well together and they're very good at pro wrestling. Like I say, Seth was complaining at the beginning because he was told like he wasn't even in the match tonight. So he was still getting his character work done throughout the match. And it was just really, really good fun. I guess bits that stand out, like Cesaro's hot tag, he just kind of went absolutely nuts on Jey Uso. And then he was going to get Jey Uso into the spin, but like Jey Uso managed to block out of it. And then Cesaro somehow managed to get out of that into like a big corkscrew uppercut. And then he went for the neutralizer, but Jey Uso managed to get out of that. But then Cesaro kind of lands on his feet as he was thrown out of it and just throws Jey Uso up into another uppercut. His uppercuts were flying all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
And then like Daniel Bryan did a suicide dive onto Seth Rollins. And then Cesaro got knocked to the outside by Jey. And then Jey went for a dive, but got hit by another uppercut. And then they get back in the ring and Cesaro dives at Jey, but then Jey manages to reverse that into a super kick. And then we go to a second commercial. It really spanned quite a few segments, this. Eventually Cesaro got Seth Rollins in the sharpshooter and Jey broke it up with a super kick. And then he went up top to get to jump dive onto Cesaro, but he gets hit with another bloody uppercut all over the place. And during all this sort of fracas, Seth Rollins just got really, really annoyed with the situation and just walked off, going like, this isn't me, I'm better than this, blah, 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 walked off, leaving Jey Uso, poor Jey Uso, leaving him on his own to get superplexed. And then Cesaro tagged in Daniel Bryan, hits the running knee and gets the 1-2-3. Really, really fun match. Like I say, all these guys just work way too well together and they're all way too good at this for it not to be a good match. Only thing, if I'm going to be really, really, really nitpicky, is I wonder why Cesaro didn't get the pin. It seems like a no-brainer to give Cesaro the pin and they gave it to Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, my only justification for that is the stuff that happens later.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But it's like, if you're pushing really Cesaro, it just doesn't make sense. Like, Daniel Bryan didn't need that. It's really nitpicking in terms of how great that match was. It just seems like an odd choice.
Yeah, it could have given Cesaro more of a reason to be a bit like, just got the win. Do you know what I mean? Like, I agree. It would have been a more interesting story beat to do that. But I'll be honest, Phil, coming out of this, all I could think, is it too much to ask for a round robin tournament with these four? Is it too much for the number one contendership for the Universal Championship? Just have them fight every week in a little table. Whoever wins gets like 3 points. Whoever loses gets like no points. Just do that like they did with the NXT thing with the interim cruiserweight championship. Do that with these four. Like they just, every one of them has brilliant chemistry with the other person. And it's just, oh, it would just make for magic. And this did, like I said, there's a reason they did give this much time over to them because they just, they were brilliant. It's just that four guys are at the peak of the powers right now. And there was just some magic. I've never seen so many like uppercuts just delivered with that kind of precision and just velocity. And then Brian started getting under the act. Brian was just, I'm going to do three uppercuts as well. Because I was doing it. It's just, I love it. These guys can just riff. And you can tell that's what a lot of it probably was. They were just going, should we do that now? Should we play with this now? And Cesaro's sharpsuit is now officially good. Well, it's strong enough and terrifying enough to make people quit mid-match now.
Right?
Yeah. Great match. I enjoyed it.
As well, it's like Cesaro, he's still not there, like at the sort of main event level with his promos and things. But I think like you say at the beginning of it, like they saved that quite well by just giving him a few lines and not overexposing him. But as soon as he steps between those rings and the bell goes, like everything he does is absolutely top tier and just shows why he should be in the position he's in and why he should be getting this big push. Yeah. He's just absolutely incredible. And it just boggles your mind every single time. Like he'll have something new, whether it's something really small, like just a new way to hit an uppercut or just some insane feat of strength. There's always something in there that's just like, my God, Cesaro is good at this.
And it's one of those things where it's like his promo ability, it's a combination of a few things where it's like some of it might be confidence because it's in like when you're in the spotlight, properly in the spotlight like that, it can be a bit like, oh, okay, got my chance, let's go for it. Yeah. And the more you do it, the more reps. So the more he's in that position, the better he'll get. But then equally, he knows about 10 languages.
I know. Yeah.
Could you imagine?
And English is his second language. It's not actually his first language.
That's what I'm saying. So, you know, imagine how many different things are going through your head where you're just trying to like establish one sentence. You've got like 10 different ways of doing it in your brain. I can't understand that, how difficult that must be. So it's like, give the guy a break. He does pretty well.
So that's like two out of three of these segments because it carried on even after this because Daniel Bryan got on the mic. And I really enjoyed this as a segment too. Daniel Bryan, again, shone so much in this. He was really, really entertaining. And he basically just started baiting Roman Reigns, just going, oh, Roman, like, weren't we supposed to get whooped? Like, was that not what you were talking about? And like, while he was doing it, Jey Uso kind of came in to try and attack from behind, but Cesaro got the better of him and started swinging him around. And like, Bryan was like counting the swings and then he got hit by an uppercut and things. And all while this was happening, like Daniel Bryan was just sort of shouting at Roman Reigns going, oh, what's going on? Like, is Roman going to come out? Are you going to come out and accept Cesaro's challenge? Like, oh no, you're not going to come out and save your cousin. So much for being a family man, eh? Let's swing him again and see if Roman Reigns comes out. So he swings him round again. And it's like, Bryan's just shouting like, Jey saved you in every single Universal title match you've had and you're not going to help him? What? Are you afraid? Like, what is this? Like, I know you couldn't beat Kevin Owens without Jey Uso. Like, you knew you couldn't beat me without Edge. You knew you couldn't beat Edge without Jey Uso. Like, I think Roman Reigns is afraid. I think he thinks he can't beat Cesaro. Just kept on baiting him and baiting him and baiting him while they were just swinging poor Jey Uso round and round and round. And what happens? Roman Reigns doesn't come out at the end and proves their point. This was just really good fun. And again, just Daniel Bryan firing on all cylinders on the mic.
Just a bunch of bullies, Phil Chambers. I expected better of you. So much better. I felt really uncomfortable watching this. Poor Jey Uso flying around.
Poor Jey Uso.
Like, shouting out the swings. Like, I've lost count of how many swings. I was like, you're bullies. You're both bullies. No, you're right. It was brilliant tactics. It was just clever. It's just exposing Reigns. And if anything, it puts him in that position where he's like, I've got to pull out a trump card at the end of this show and really reassert myself as the powerful force. So I loved it.
It really informs what happens at the end of the show, this, which we'll get to.
It's through the night storytelling. It's what this SmackDown brand's been kicking ass at all year. I love it.
As a whole, I think that was like, I think it's probably more than a third of SmackDown was all just that one segment on its own. And yeah, absolutely fantastic from start to finish. Just loved it. Really, really good stuff. How is Raw and SmackDown written by the same company?
I have no idea, but I feel like they're kind of taking on what we say every week about the main event kind of anchoring SmackDown. Like, they normally bookends it and the beginning and the end of the show is normally the best parts of it. So they've gone, all right, we'll make the beginning of the show really long then. So you really like it. Yeah, it works for me.
And then next up, we had Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville backstage, and Apollo kind of barges in and Sonya just kind of wanders off. And Apollo's annoyed that he's going to have to face Big E again at some point, and talking about winning the IC title at WrestleMania. And Adam Pearce is like, well, yeah, you will. When Big E's cleared, you will have to face him again. But tonight, you're going to have to face Kevin Owens. And it was just a bit of a weird thing to set up that match, I guess. It was fine, whatever.
Yeah, not much more to add. It was just like, oh, that's coming tonight. Yeah.
Yep. They could have done it with a match graphic, but instead they did it with this. Fair enough, whatever. And then we had Jey Uso backstage with Kayla Braxton, and he's not a happy Jey Uso, is he? He kind of doubles down on the, oh, what's all this like disrespect from Cesaro? Like, you're going to step to the head of the table. You're going to get put down, boy. But he's still fighting Roman's battles, even in a losing situation. And after what just happened, Daniel Bryan and Cesaro calling out all of Roman Reigns is bull crap. But he's still fighting Roman's battles. He's still got his back.
He's just been brainwashed to the to the point of repair at this. Yeah, that's where we're at now. Poor Jey, he can't see the forest through the trees, bless him.
But next up, we had a brand new match that we've never seen before on SmackDown ever, because we had Nia Jax versus Tamina.
My soul. Ow.
Reginald is back as well, so that's something to look forward to.
Can I get a pop out of you, Phil Chambers? Yeah, make your Friday.
No, not anymore. They've ruined all my pops for Reginald. I'm sorry. And yeah, this was copy and paste from every single week of the women's tag team titles for the last 3 months.
We could literally just say that and everyone would understand exactly what I mean. That's the position. You took the words out of my mind. I was like, yep, seen this before.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If anything, as well, after all of these sort of interference spots and distractions, you'd think they'd be getting a bit better at it. But no, there was like really sloppy interference in this by Shayna Baszler, where she kind of went to grab Tamina's leg. Well, Tamina was kind of going to slam Nia Jax, but she like was supposed to grab her leg, so she couldn't lift her up. But like she kind of touched her leg and then like stopped it, and then they kind of repeated the spot, and it was just really awkward.
It was. It was just messy, like large parts of the match.
Almost like they don't even care themselves. and I don't blame them, to be honest. But after that, Tamina proved that there ain't nobody meaner than Tamina, obviously, and started beating the crap out of Nia Jax, like kicked her to the outside, like she was throwing her into the barricade repeatedly. But then Reginald gets up on the apron and Nia Jax sort of went to take advantage. But then Shayna got annoyed that Reginald had got on the apron, and Shayna getting annoyed at Reginald doing a distraction for Nia Jax distracted Nia Jax to the point where Tamina super kicked Nia, but then still had to roll Nia Jax up for a quick roll up after a super. Why couldn't she just hit a move and win?
Yeah, it was like Nia Jax took a long time. She was like, what are you doing? What, guys?
Yeah.
Guys, what are you doing? It's just like, turn around, stupid fool.
Yeah, it was really bad. I'm really bored of all of this. We need something new in this. Like, stop. Nobody wins in these situations at all. Tamina doesn't look any better for having to do a quick roll-up after, like, three distractions in a match. And Nia Jax looks like an idiot because she had the match won and then was distracted by the distraction. It's stupid.
Yeah, it's like whenever this threatens to get interesting, like they were putting over how Tamina got this big reaction of 25,000 fans. And I was like, oh, maybe we're going to get a weird thing now where we get like a lot of hype behind Tamina and she goes on a tear. Well, why not? Why not? We're not doing anything else. It's going to Tamina tear. Yeah, but no, we're not doing that. And it's like with Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler, it's like there's a few moments where you're like, oh, the thing's going to spill over and boil over and they get really aggressive and violent. No, they're just going to keep bickering over Reginald. It's like, yeah. Just don't get your hopes up with this. That's the sad reality of it.
We just need to move on from this. Yeah. We need to get some, get some new women into the tag team division, but they've fired a bunch that could have been perfect for it. It's bad. It's the same thing every single week. No one looks any stronger. Like, if you're going to put Tamina over Nia Jax, just have a win. How about just, even if you still want to do the distraction, do that, but then at least let her hit the Samoan drop or something and get a definitive 1-2-3 rather than a super kick and a roll up. Nobody comes out of this stronger. Shayna Baszler looks stupid because she's bad at interfering in matches and then also cost her tag team partner the match. Nia Jax looks like an idiot for what happened at the end. Natalya just did absolutely nothing. So it's, yeah.
Yeah, this division has just not succeeded in making anybody. That's the thing. It's just not making anybody.
Yeah.
Anyone who's got involved in it, it's just like, drag you down. It's just not, nah. It's the failing experiment at this point.
Absolutely. Bad stuff needs fixing ASAP. And then next up, it was Kayla Braxton backstage with Kevin Owens, and he was surprised and like thrilled to get a title shot at Apollo for the IC title. He's not had one in like over a year or something, and like plenty of people want to knock him off his royal perch. But in comes Big E, calling him a line jumper, saying that this is my match and my title. And Kayla's like, well, yeah, it might be, but tonight it's my match, and when I win, it's going to be my title. Now, two things from this. One, didn't Adam Pearce say earlier that Big E wasn't cleared, and that's why he wasn't getting the match yet? And then, you still have Big E come in and list, which makes absolutely no sense either way. Two, can we please have Kevin Owens versus Big E? I didn't realize how much I wanted that until like the end of this promo when they were kind of laughing at each other. And I was like, oh, that would be really good.
Yeah, and to like jump off both of those points, the first one, like, I just think it just highlights a real lack of communication between the management team and the actual wrestlers there. It's just like, oh, no, you're not medically clear. It's like, no, I don't care. It's like, it's just, yeah, it just seems like two people be given two different, like, scripts beforehand. But equally, the end game was you're not getting your match tonight.
Yeah.
And then with the KO Big E stuff, I've seen people online being like, oh, does this mean that Big E's turning heel? I don't like that. And I'm like, I don't think it is. It's just two highly competitive baby faces. I'm up for that. Like,
yeah,
it doesn't make me feel like strongly against either one of them. It's like, no, they both really want the belt. That's the idea. Like, I'm up for that. And then after it, they could both just shake hands and be like, yeah, cool. All right, good match, man. Let's move on. Like, they're those kind of characters where that would work.
Yeah. This seems as well, like, I'll get more into this later, but it feels like we're going back to the IC title sort of division of the card that we had like a couple of months ago, like back when Big E was the champion, there was loads of people fighting around the IC title and there was like lots of opportunities. And then for a bit, they kind of just forgot about it and didn't put much focus on it over like the course of, because of like Fastlane and then WrestleMania. And now hopefully we're getting back to it and building a bit of a division around it. And
I think it was like, I think they had the feud, didn't they, for Mania? They're like, that's where we go in. So there's no point messing around. And it was like, we're going to give KO and Sami Zayn their thing. Whereas now, like you said, like there's that many people you can vibe for. Yeah. I like the idea of it being that, just this title where if you get a couple wins behind your belt, boom, you're in. You can go for it. It's just, it's the working man's belt.
Absolutely. Next up, we had Daniel Bryan with Adam Pearce backstage as well. And he was just basically saying that, are you going to make this Cesaro versus Roman Reigns match a thing? And Adam Pearce was like, come on, we both know it's not that simple. I'll try, though. And Daniel Bryan just stared at him and was like, do more than try.
He does have a lot of sway in the writing room. Don't forget this.
Like, indeed.
We'll make them put them in that match.
And then it was the match between Kevin Owens and Apollo Crews. Quickly, on Kevin Owens' entrance, it kind of looked like the cameraman just kind of fell asleep and just gave up filming for a second. It was really odd.
I thought my TV had done something weird. I was like, oh God, somebody like the feed falling off or something. It's just, someone fell asleep. Like, you can imagine he was in his headset going, no, change camera, got somebody else. It's broken.
it's very rare you get big production mishaps like that in WWE because they're very good at it. And yeah, it was just really strange. Yeah. But again, obviously, Kevin Owens versus Apollo Crews. If anything, I've come out of this match thinking, oh my God, these guys have really good chemistry together. Let's do more with this. This is fun. Even if the sort of finish is, I guess, what you can expect. Mm. But yeah, the match itself was really, really good fun. Like I say, I guess the biggest point to talk about is like Apollo Crews went to like hit a moonsault from the apron to the outside, but like misses, but still lands on his feet, but then gets super kicked. Kevin Owens rolls him in, hits the Swanton Bomb. But as he was pinning him, who would come out but Sami Zayn to interrupt? And then it kind of goes to commercial. And then when we come back, Sami Zayn has joined the commentary team and is just talking about how he's having loads of legal issues with his documentary and he's trying to get a release, but Logan Paul's kind of ruined it all.
Yeah, he has. He has ruined it. He ruined WrestleMania for me, that man.
Yeah. But yeah, then the match itself, again, really, really fun stuff from Kevin Owens and Apollo Crews. They just work really, really well together. There's like a bunch of like a huge release German suplex that Kevin Owens just throws him across the ring and then like hits him with two cannonballs in the corners. And then they're like trade in reversals back and forth, like super kicks into like pop-up power bombs and gets a two count off that. And then the finish boils around to Kevin Owens, like goes up top because he's going to dive onto Apollo Crews again, but Apollo Crews rolls to the outside and then KO changes his mind and hits a frog splash to the outside instead, rolls Apollo Crews in. Just when you think he's got the match wrapped up, Commander Aziz gets up on the apron, the exact same side of the apron that Reginald has just done this exact same thing in, gets a roll up with pretty much the exact same camera angle as they filmed it in the women's match and gets the 1-2-3 from a distraction. Two in a row. That's pretty much copy and paste.
Yeah, that's like mid-show deja vu is never a good thing. That's How are we feeling about Commander Aziz? We've not really had a chance to unpack this.
That's true. I'm kind of into him. I'm not going to lie. It's still really weird that they're just completely ignoring his entire past history of two other characters that they've had on the show. But I'm into him being the sort of muscle for Apollo Crews. It gives more options around the IC title because like you've got to go through Commander Aziz before you go through Big E. And I always like stuff like that for heel champions. And yeah, I think it could be a good thing for Commander Aziz, as we're calling him now, in the future of just sort of working with a guy who in ring is as amazing as Apollo Crews and yeah, get him a spot on the card and have him learn his crafts. I think it's all good.
So I think this is finally that long-term storytelling that has been a seed that was planted some time ago when we had Apollo Crews sat backstage with Roman Reigns having a bit of a conversation. I finally think I know what that conversation was now. You need to get a right arm man, mate.
You need a scrappy-do. They're really handy.
Yeah, that's a big old scrappy-do. That's a big, big scrappy-do. So, yeah, I feel like, but I like that. I mean, even if that's not the case and that was not the inspiration, I can see those parallels now going, oh, okay, he's seen this big character and how he's kind of gone about his work. He's gone, okay, I'll go down a similar route. And it's like you said, it's great always having like a secondary boss that you have to go through to get to the big bad boss. And I just love Apollo. Like WWE have kind of got this embarrassment of riches in terms of heels right now, that they have all these incredible performers that can all go in the ring and brilliant performers, but then they still get out of these matches through like kind of wily means. Do you know what I mean? So it's like they can go and they're legit. So they can have as many of these stupid finishes as they want. You can still sit there and go, okay, yeah, Apollo Crews can probably beat anyone. Look at the guy. He's doing backflips, standing moonsaults. Look at the size of him. He can do a standing moonsault. It's ridiculous. Yeah. But then he can still get away with just having to wiggle his way out of it. It's an odd kind of dynamic that they have right now with all the heels. Same with Sami Zayn. People like that, like steal victories, but you're like still Sami bloody Zayn. Look what he can do. Yeah, that mid-card on SmackDown's just frightening in comparison to what Raw have got right now, like what's going on around their US title scene. Like it's
ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely different worlds.
After the match as well, we should say Kevin Owens got straight back in the ring, stunned Apollo Crews, but then got grabbed by Commander Aziz, who hit the Nigerian Nail, which is also the Samoan Spike, just with a slightly different name.
As soon as I saw the thumb go up, I thought, I know what's going down here.
All very copy and paste. And then Sami Zayn, being the genius man that he is, got very excited by this, jumped into the ring and started dancing over Kevin Owens' downed body because he's got to sell some of those Sami Dancing for Syria shirts that he's got on Pro Wrestling Tees at the minute.
That's it. That was my only, the way I was going to forgive this. I thought, oh, this is typical WWE overdoing something now because it's got a little bit over online. No, yeah. Sammy's selling T-shirts and they're for a good cause. Well, good. Sammy, keep dancing, buddy. You dance all the way to the top.
But yeah, again, like I say, the match itself, absolutely can't fault two of them. Really, really good. Really don't need two distraction finishes in a row on a show, though. Could have what's wrong with just giving Apollo Crews a win in that situation?
They need a whiteboard, Phil. Like, apparently what AEW have got backstage.
They really do.
You'd see those two X's and go, it's changed that. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Next up, we had Kayla Braxton, who was backstage with Paul Heyman, saying, like, are we going to get an answer tonight? And Paul Heyman was talking about, Cesaro's great. He loves Cesaro in a professional sort of way. Cesaro, out of all the Cesaros in the world, Cesaro is his favourite Cesaro. But he's going to give a spoiler for the end of the night, because at the end of the night, Roman will give his answer to Cesaro. And you know what? It was a spoiler, because he does.
Yeah, it's coming. I mean, I was intrigued. I wanted to see what's going to happen in the big tribal chief tonight.
Indeed. Then we had our new backstage interviewer, Megan Mordaunt, backstage with a very excited Apollo Crews.
I was going to say, this is a trial by fire, big time. There you go.
It really was.
On cloud nine.
Get thrown in with an incredibly over-enthusiastic version of Apollo Crews, which I thought was really entertaining. He was super excited about winning his match. Talking about how Commander Aziz is now backstage cleaning the tears off of the Royal Lance from Kevin Owens and going like, oh, what's that sound? Oh, it's the sound of the ancestors jumping in celebration. Just going really over the top with it. Kind of liked it, not gonna lie. But before he could get through everything, Big E storms in and almost takes out poor Megan while he was doing it. Slams him into a wall, chucks him down, starts beating him up. Loads of refs and people start to come in, breaks it all up, and then out comes bloody Commander Aziz way too late, kind of does a double take at what's happened and then goes down and is like, oh, Apollo, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, he just does the typical kind of the camera zooming in, now make a grimacing face. He's very intimidating. He's very good at it. It was, I mean, the more I see this Apollo Crews character, the more I see him kind of going to extreme emotions while still maintaining that accent, the actor within me is very impressed. Because when you get to that kind of range where you're screaming and shouting, it's very easy just to dip into your own voice, you get carried away. He's still going for it. I've got the more and more he keeps going with this character and the further he takes it, I think he's brilliant. I think it's just been a revelation for him. He's impressing me week after week. And I think
he's got really comfortable with this character over the weeks. But for some reason, there was just something about how he did it in this one, because it was a little bit more over the top and he was excited and smiley. It just felt a lot more comfortable for him. It just felt like the first time it felt like it was him, if that makes sense. Truly just, that's just Apollo Crews.
But I like seeing him interact with people. Now. Do you know what I mean? I think you get more of a sense of that. You can do all the monologues where you stood on your own. Yeah, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to kick all your asses. I'm the prince or whatever it is. That's fine. But I like it when you see him up against another character, when you see him properly going back and forth with someone. You're like, okay, now I know what makes you tick. Now I know what makes you laugh and what makes you want to kick someone's head in. It's great. I think more of that stuff.
Absolutely. And so, yeah, supposedly we are getting that match next week. Well, I wouldn't be surprised if this somehow gets pushed back to WrestleMania Backlash, because that's the point of it, I guess. Anyway, next up, Aleister Black is back on SmackDown and he's cutting a promo. And I'll just kind of go through what he said and then we can talk about the presentation of it afterwards, because he was in a darkened room with a bunch of candles and things because it's Aleister Black. Of course he was. But he was talking about how he's going to sort of tell this story, and it's chapter one, the dragon, and he talks about how he attended lots of funerals as a child. I'm not quite sure why he was going to lots of funerals as a child. These big celebrations of life and death, and then as he grew older, his father became distant, and then he finally figured out that he wasn't taught how to defeat the dragon, he was taught how to become the dragon, and he could never be like you weak-minded fools talking about us people gawking at the screen, we're monsters, what we do is vile and we should be condemned, we should be scorched from the earth like rotting crops to make way for more fertile things. But he delivered it really, really well. I thought this is something we said on the news, that he's been trying out on Instagram quite a lot since he's not been used on TV, so he's had a lot of spare time. And it feels like it's something that's coming from him. The he's got his little sort of murder glasses on that you see all of the serial killers on Netflix documentaries wearing. And he looks very much like the cult leader out of, is it Fallout 4?
My
hair looks a lot like him. Fallout 4 or 5, I can't remember which one. He just delivers it with conviction and just well, because it's just Alistair Black and this is the kind of thing he does. But also they put over the story part, like all these animations of like puppets and fire, and it just looked really, really nice. Like all of this was put together so well. And like the animation style was something we've not really seen from WWE before. It really made it stand out. And it looked like it wouldn't be out of place in a Hollywood movie, that like scene. Yeah. It was really, really good.
That's what made it pop for me. It's one of those where I'm a sucker for a good visual. You know what I mean? It's one of if it feels fresh and feels new, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to go, oh, this is interesting, because it's just new. Like, I like new. New's different. Like, and it's, I'm still a little bit confused. I'm probably supposed to be confused at this point. It's the first one, and it's one of those things where it keeps you hooked and keeps you going back next week going, I need to find out more about this, because this is all a bit unusual and strange. He's the dragon. So he's saying he's been taught how to become the dragon. I'm like, is that like the dragon as part of a cult? Like, is the dragon like the leader of this cult, or is he an actual dragon? Because we've seen that on NXT recently, where like Tian Sha turned up and she was trained by a dragon apparently, and she's like a 1,000-year-old just warrior lady. So in WWE, in the line of WWE, dragons exist, Phil. So he might be a dragon for all we know. And if that is the case, we've just missed WrestleMania. He could have walked out as a dragon. That would have been amazing.
That would have been amazing. Maybe that's what they're building to. Next year, WrestleMania, Aleister Black flying out on a dragon.
Yeah, Finn Balor against Aleister Black, the demon against the dragon.
I hope this goes somewhere this time for Aleister Black. He's had sort of a patchy going on the main roster, let's say. And like you said on the news, we've not seen him since like October when he first got drafted to SmackDown, and then they never used him. So that was a complete waste of a draft pick. You stupid Fox robots, you. I assume it's still them doing the draft picks.
What happened to his eye as well? Because I'm sure his eye got pretty badly done in. He wears glasses now.
Be fair, he's had plenty of time for it to get better.
I think that's what's inspired the glasses look, Phil, for me. That's it. Got some damaged retina.
Next up, we had a really weird segment that made absolutely no sense to me whatsoever, but it was Kayla Braxton backstage with the Dirty Dogs, and she started off by kind of asking them who was going to win in the match between the Mysterios and the Alpha Academy tonight. And it was really pointless. Dolph Ziggler did all the promo basically just saying how he has like great chemistry with Rey Mysterio or something, but he's going to have to pick the Alpha Academy because, hey, like amateur wrestlers, street cred, we stick together. And then Kayla was like, oh, so who's next for the Dirty Dogs? And they're like, oh, it doesn't matter who's next. But then obviously they get interrupted because it's WWE and in comes the Street Profits and like, oh, how about we got next? And it's like, pretty sure you've lost every single time you've had a chance, Street Profits. Why should you be next? And then Dolph Ziggler was like, oh, it's take back season. Take your asses to the back. Jokes. He's got all the jokes. Mm-hmm. All of that, pretty bad and didn't make any sense. And then Bayley came in, I guess, to save the SmackDown men's tag team division by just being Bayley, and was like, oh, you can cut the tension with the knife, and then basically just pushed them all away and took over the complete promo.
Yes, because she is the biggest star in that room at that point, Phil. She can do whatever she wants.
Makes no sense. Love Bayley. She's great. But the tag team stuff just feels like we're going to be going round and round and round and round and round in circles with this for quite a long time.
Yeah, I'm worried they're going to set themselves up now. I think they've heard us saying, yeah, this is great, it's division. They go, okay, we'll just rest on our laurels then for the next 6 months. Yeah.
You like this division? You'll have it forever. Don't forget, it's here forever. And then Bayley completely took it over and was talking about her opponent at WrestleMania Backlash, who is obviously going to be Bianca Belair, the ungrateful rookie Bianca Belair, I should say. And Bayley was talking about how she helped Bianca when she first came into SmackDown, like graciously allowed her to work with me. And like now she's our champ and I never even got a thank you. Bianca's rude and she's selfish and she's spoiled and she's going to make her regret treating her that way. And she's going to take a title back and a spot at the top of the division that she built. Now go tell Bianca that. And then in comes Montez Ford and he's on the phone with Bianca. And he's like, oh, Bayley really has your name in your mouth tonight. Come on, Montez, don't be that guy. Snitches get stitches.
Hey, he's the husband. He gets stitches if he doesn't snitch.
What a tattletale. Bloody Montez Ford. And then Bianca's like, what? I'll be right there. And then we cut away. And when we come back, it is Bayley and Bianca. And Bianca's like, say it to my face. And Bailey's like, what? You won't think I won't repeat myself? And Bailey's like, will you? Bianca's like, will you? And Bailey's like, I will. And Bianca's like, you won't. And then Bailey completely turns around and was like, oh, okay. Well, I was just kind of wanting to congratulate you for making history at Mania. Like, it'll be an honor to be your first challenger at WrestleMania Backlash. You showed everyone that you are the EST, like the way you picked up Sasha and walked up those stairs. It's absolutely incredible. It's going to be an honor to wrestle you. And then walks away. And Bianca looks really, really confused and was like, well, that's not what I was expecting. And then Bailey comes back and she's like, oh, and one more thing. And then just bursts out laughing in her face. And Bailey's back because Bailey's the best. I love Bailey. And then she walks off just laughing in hysterics.
I said, she didn't have to do a big thing going, ah, I didn't mean it. I said that she just needs to laugh. Bailey, yeah. Like, we get the point. It's like, yeah, simple. Bailey being Bailey. This feels like some way of trying to salvage the absolute shit show that was her WrestleMania. I don't know what a WrestleMania was. We've not had a chance to talk about that. What the hell did they do to our girl? They're probably gonna have a great match, but you've kind of robbed her of being in front of that crowd and the pop she would have got in that match.
Like, maybe that's what they were scared of. They were scared of her getting too big a pop.
Still got them. They got the Bellas booed out of the bloody stadium because they had it. Oh, it was a mess. And like, I don't know what this means now for Sasha. It's like, because we saw her last week, she had like that backstage thing where she was just fuming. Still had like a battle scar from the whip. The whip hurled around the world. I literally heard it live from Newcastle, which is frightening. Like, I'd open my window, I thought thunder and lightning was happening. It was frightening. So I don't know if that just means she's out of that for a bit, which is fine. You could bring her back maybe in a couple of weeks, couple of months, and she could just be like, be a resurgent challenger. That's cool. But Bailey's, it's so bittersweet. You know what I mean? Should have happened, like, should have had a bigger moment before this. Like, she's going to kill it, but she's just been robbed.
It's like, it's fine. I'm okay with this as a thing. It's going to be a great match. Let's face it. I'd love to see the little rivalry backstage that Bailey and Sasha have as to who can get the best match out of Bianca Belair, which I'm pretty sure they'll probably have. I think it's going to be really good fun. Bailey as a character is great every single time she's on TV. But yeah, like you say, couldn't we have had her just beat anyone at WrestleMania and then say, well, like, I'm on a winning streak, let's do this, rather than just, it's just so many times in WWE, the championship match is made because someone just walks up to a champion and goes, can I have a title shot? And they're like, yeah, sure. And that's pretty much it. Instead of like earning things or like having logical stories that go into things, it's just, this is next and off we go.
This was even announced on the show, was it? Was it announced beforehand?
I don't know.
I saw loads of reports saying it had just been like sent to people.
Maybe it was just announced, like,
This is coming. It's like, what? What?
Who needs to in fairness, this is already probably better than the build to Bianca versus Sasha.
Yeah. Short the better for WWE. You think you give them the time, you can crap the bed.
So I'm hoping Bailey can get something great. Well, I know Bailey can get something great out of Bianca in terms of the match. I'm just hoping that, the build is a little bit better than what they gave for Sasha and Bianca. But considering how, like, the reports of WWE being incredibly high on Sasha and Bianca, I assume that isn't going to be the end of it. And even if this builds to a triple threat match at some time, you know, that's going to be fire as well. Like, there's a lot of good things that can come out of this. They just need to sort the building between the matches, because that's where they had issues last time.
Yeah, completely agree. Sort the steps in between.
Next up, it was the Mysterios versus the Alpha Academy in a brand new match that we've never seen before.
Yeah.
Obviously, it was good, though, because of course it was. Alpha Academy running wild against Dominic in the early going. Otis just using his power. Gable just out-wrestling him. And then Gable had him in, like, some belly-to-belly. So he, like, did overhead belly-to-belly and then kind of rolled through holding onto it. And then another one and then rolled through holding onto it into a German and then threw him. But Dominic managed to land on his feet and then got Ray to get the hot tag. And Ray went wild. Gable had him on the top rope and was about to do like a big gut buster, but Ray managed to reverse it into a top rope hurricanrana. Tags Dominic in. Gable gets thrown over the top rope, but like lands on the apron. And then Ray does like a baseball slide underneath him, but grabs his legs as he's going down to pull him down. And then Dominic does like a sliding sunset powerbomb into the ring barriers on the outside. Really, really good. Tags Ray back in. He gets Gable in the 619 position, and then Dominic dives out at Otis, but Otis catches him and goes to slam him into the ring post, but Dominic gets out of that, and then as Otis is charging at him, he goes over the top of the announce table. Rey Mysterio hits the 619, hits the frog splash, gets the 1-2-3. The Mysterios have won. I assume we're going to do the Mysterios versus the Dirty Dogs for the titles at some point. still wondering why they didn't just do it at WrestleMania and have the big pop with the live crowd and the fantastic feel-good moment.
Yeah, we know it's coming. It's inevitable. Like, the amount of times they put over on commentary saying, oh, it's the first time we've had a father-son unit together, first time champions would be really cool. It's like, yes, it would. Would have been really cool a couple of weeks ago. But fine, let's just do it in front of some LED screens instead. Yay. Yeah. I do love the fact that Pat McAfee pops out like a madman every time the 6-1 line comes. It's great.
He does, yeah. He loves it.
But here it comes again. I'm like, it's all right, Pat. It's all right. It is good. Yeah. It is good, though.
But at least we got a clean finish. So there is that.
Yeah. I mean, that's a small bar. Yeah.
Again, I think we need something to freshen up this tag team division, just like the women's one. Because, there are four teams there that you can build a division around, but it feels like the way they've done it is they've just already given us all the matches in like 4 weeks of television.
Yeah, there's no real story. It was like Otis is just being a dick to Ray,
like
squashing Ray a bit, and then
to be fair, like Otis is playing the heel character really well. Oh, yeah. I feel it makes no sense that they did it in the first place because he's just such a likable character, but like he does feel like he's got a viciousness that he didn't have before, and like a just that sort of anger and presence that he didn't quite have before. So he is playing into it quite well. Mm. And they are still entertaining as the Alpha Academy. They're just too good at wrestling not to be.
That's it. Like you said, the actual division's entertaining. It's just like, I feel like they've blown the load a bit coming into WrestleMania, building towards this big four-way. And we're like, yeah, here we go. And now you're just going to get out of SmackDown. It's like, great. Anticlimax.
And then the Street Profits versus the Dirty Dogs match that you've been building to for, 3 months with the Dirty Dogs having the solo cups all the time and making fun of them. They just threw away on last week's episode of SmackDown. Yeah. It's like, there's things that you can build to and have payoffs. It's called wrestling.
Yeah, it's like one week they get really interested in the tag division. Next week they're like, it'll be all right. We'll do this instead. So
yeah. Definitely not as bad as the women's tag team division, though. We'll say that. Weirdly enough, out as sort of Dominik and Ray were celebrating at the end, out comes Cesaro and Daniel Bryan, kind of applauding them, I guess, to move on to the next thing, because they're like, yeah, tag's over now, let's just get to the main event angle. And it was Cesaro when he was in the ring calling out Roman Reigns. Obviously, Roman Reigns comes out and he has a bit of a stare down with Cesaro. And Roman Reigns was just an absolute badass in all of this, pretty much. He just sort of stared at Cesaro right in his face. He's like, you don't deserve to be in the ring with me. Like, the answer is no. It will always be no. You will never be on my level. End of story. Brilliant. And then he's like, the Universal Champ is the one who wishes the challenges around here. And he has got one, but it's to you. And like turns to face Daniel Bryan. And he's like, I don't like you. I have never liked you. I will never like you. You can have one more opportunity at this title. What do you say? And Cesaro's like, you have to take it. Like, gives Bryan the mic. Like, you have to take it. And Roman, before he could take it, it's like, but when you lose, I don't ever want to see your face again. I don't want to see you on my show. I'd never want to see you on SmackDown. That's it. You're done here. And Daniel Bryan accepts. And then we get a stare down in Yes Chance. And the match graphic comes up because next week we are getting Daniel Bryan versus Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship. Loser leaves SmackDown, I guess, match. And like, what a cliffhanger kind of thing to end on and actually make you want to come back for next week's SmackDown. What a crazy idea to end a TV show on a hook that makes you want to watch the next episode of that TV show.
Yeah, it's just, you can't say like, oh, it's inspired. It's just what you should be doing.
Yeah.
it works. It's so simply done. I mean, oh, it's one of those matches where you literally can't, you don't want to call the outcome. I mean, I don't think it's the case if you can't. I can kind of call the outcome. I don't want to call it because I like Daniel Bryan on SmackDown and I don't want him to go anywhere else unless it's NXT for a bit.
Yeah, that's true. I think NXT is the only place I'd want to see him. I don't think even Daniel Bryan could withstand the stink of Raw right now. But it's like, it's all the things that's going on behind this as well. Like, Daniel Bryan's been doing a bunch of interviews recently about saying how he's kind of a little bit burnt out and like he had a weird sort of out-of-body experience at WrestleMania, and it was the first time he's ever sort of felt like that in a wrestling ring, and he's like questioning whether he's done. And then he's also talking about all these other people in all these other companies that he also wants to wrestle at some point. So it's like, is all of that just a work because he knew this was coming and it's going to be some kind of massive swerve, or is it quite simply as Daniel Bryan is a little bit burnt out and wants a bit of time off? Or is it just WWE wanting to mix up the shows and put him over to Raw to desperately try and save that sinking ship?
There's a lot to it. Like, because it's like you said, like, he'd said all this stuff in, what was it, like October of last year when he was saying, like, oh, I'm kind of winding down a bit now. I'm not going to be anywhere near the main event. Yeah. So he's putting people over, gets in the main event at WrestleMania. Yeah. And it's like, and then he's come out and said, I didn't want that. And it's like, oh, but you're still there, man. Like,
and even in the build to that, he made sure to let everybody know, it's like, oh, this could be my last ever WrestleMania. And it's like, is this just too much foreshadowing for it to not be a big swerve? I just don't know.
I mean, I don't, yeah, if it was anybody but Daniel Bryan, I'd be a bit like, yeah, it might be a swerve, but he is just a family man. That isn't a character. That isn't just a script he's reading off. Like, he's like Kevin Owens or like Edge, when like you see all these pictures, they're just so family orientated. And it's like, okay, I wrestle, love wrestling, but kind of I'm getting into that point in my life where I'm in my prime. I still want to be around my kids and my wife. And it's tough. I don't want to see him go, man. He's done such a cracking job, like, especially from probably about January to now, just breathing something different into SmackDown. Do you know what I mean? Like, he said himself, like, the Edge and Roman stuff would have been great going to WrestleMania on its own. If they would have built a good storyline, it would have been fine. But Brian acted as like the anchor of that story in the end. It was odd. Like, he kind of grounded everything. Like, he gave everything stakes. He kind of gave Edge a reason to snap. He gave Roman a reason to kind of be desperate. As much as he says he wasn't needed, he kind of was to up the stakes. So when you've got that kind of player in your ranks, you want to keep him and keep throwing him in there with people like Cesaro to help him get over, and anybody in Raw who maybe does need to get over, and all these guys in NXT like Pete Dunne, those two together, he get him on a different level. That's the greedy wrestling fan in me wanting that.
Yeah.
But the human in me is thinking, well, if he's going to go, this is probably as big a Daniel Bryan way of doing it. Universal Championship match in the main event, loser leaves town. Yeah, that's the way you want to go, isn't it?
At the same time with that as well, it's like the whole reasoning behind him like coming back in the first place after his injury was like it got taken away from him. It's that old thing of happens to, I think, any wrestler that has it taken away from them rather than them going out on their own terms. There's always that little part of them that's like, oh my God, I need to get back in to do this. Like, maybe he has got back in to do this and he's okay with that now, and he's like come to terms with it, and now he's got his family and other things going on in his life. Maybe that is just a change in heart and he's got it out of his system almost. But then he's sort of the perennial guy who just absolutely loves wrestling. And how can he step away? There's so many things going into this that I just can't call. But if it does mean he goes off SmackDown, whatever that means, whether it means going to Raw or NXT or just having some time off, imagine the heat that Roman Reigns will get from kicking Daniel Bryan out of WWE.
Well, that's it. And one of the only real shining lights in this, saving graces of it, is the fact that if he's out of the picture, frees up a spot. Maybe at the top, he's not like clinging onto a spot that's pushing anyone down by any means. But it does do that. Like, the landscape has to shift. Cesaro could maybe go into that. Like, other people like Shinsuke Nakamura, maybe threatening to get into that main event scene for a bit. He's gone.
They're also never going to get that Edge versus Daniel Bryan match. If that's
never it. Say never. Edge is a free agent for me. I don't think he's on SmackDown.
But if Daniel Bryan wins, then you could do Edge versus Daniel Bryan, whatever.
No, but then Roman's going to kill everyone, Phil. Like, got to think about the long term future of this show. He's going to kill everyone. I love it though, because I'm so excited for next week now. This is what I want from my wrestling.
100%. Like, who knew? Like, it's been a while since I think we've had a bit of a cliffhanger that's kind of this big of this much of, oh my God, I want to see next week's show right now. And why? Why is that the case? It makes no sense. It's TV 101 that you have a series, you want people to watch the next episode of the series, you end on a big question mark that makes people want to answer that by watching the next show. It's really, really, really simple. And WWE haven't done it for a long, long time.
I'm intrigued to see what the ratings are going to be for next week. I'm so intrigued, because I think that'll be a massive factor. If they do well off the back of a cliffhanger, it'll be like,
it's cliffhanger. It's advertising a huge match. They've already advertised another big championship match as well with the IC title match. The sort of rematch is nowhere near as big, obviously. But like, two big matches that you're advertising ahead of time and ending a show with a cliffhanger can only surely do good things to the ratings. And I hope it does that and proves it. And then WWE do more of this going forwards.
Yeah, that's the dream, Phil. That's the dream.
Indeed. So that was the SmackDown Review podcast. Thank you very much for listening. Please do give us a subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever it is that you happen to get your podcast from. And leave us a 5-star review while you're there as well to put a smile on Adam Wilborn's face, because he doesn't love doing that. And more, you can follow us. That's a thing. On Twitter. Twitter is also a thing. At Phil My Chambers is my thing on that Twitter that is a thing. Gareth, what's your thing on that Twitter that's a thing?
My thing on the Twitter thing is GMorgan04 thing.
I'm good at podcast things. You can also follow all of us at What Culture WWE. But yeah, most importantly, have yourselves a bloody good day.
Bye, thing.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.